everyone, and welcome to episode one of the Pay It Forward podcast. My name is Matthew Farber, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Very briefly, the purpose of this Pay It Forward podcast is to simply do what the title says, to pay it forward. And how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to talk with and pick the brains of the best bowlers in the world. That's right, the best bowlers from the PBA and PWBA tours are going to join us on this podcast, and we're going to learn about the valuable information that they have used to become so successful, the things that they have learned over the years to have successful careers. So today, I'm extremely excited to welcome a very special guest onto the Pay It Forward podcast. Not only is this episode one, but also somehow managed to get someone that's pretty amazing to join us today. She's a four-time PWBA tour titleist, including a win earlier this season at the PWBA Fountain Valley Open. She's got 9 gold medals in international competition. I think it's 9. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure it's 9. That's at least what I counted, along with countless other silver and bronze medals in international competition. One of the best female bowlers in the world, Danielle McEwen. Danielle, thank you so much for taking some time to join us today on the podcast.
Hey, Matt. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. I just first wanted to say congratulations again on your win earlier this season and on an amazing start so far this year on the PWBA Tour. I know the last couple of weeks may not have exactly ended up the way that you wanted to, but still, without a doubt, an incredible start to your year. How does that help you get going on tour? Does having a really strong start to your season really help, or is it all just the same? Is it all just bowling, or is that mental? Is there a mental advantage, associated along with having that strong start?
There's definitely a mental advantage to getting off to a strong start, especially with the way our tour plays out this year in particular, with the last half of the year being based off of the top points finishers getting invited into the invite-only field, and then having the Road to Richmond event at the end. The fact that I was able to qualify myself for that right off the bat takes a lot of pressure off. And then obviously the goal was to make it into that invite-only field at the end. So getting off to a strong start definitely helps that.
Right, for sure. Yeah. And also, if I remember correctly, at the end of the year, at the Players' Championships, the two players with the highest points total throughout the season automatically get a bye onto the TV show. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so obviously huge advantage to starting off strongly on the tour, and just an incredible season. I'm sure it feels good to kind of get that win off your back for getting a year. You know, obviously you've done it before, but to start the season off like you have is I'm sure it's incredible. How do you manage all the travel that you do? You live a crazy life. I'm sure everybody that knows that follows you on every social media platform that you're on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Also, for everybody that's listening, all of Danielle's social media handles will be in the description for this episode. So make sure you go subscribe and you follow all of Danielle's travels, because it's unbelievable to watch what she does. How do you manage it all? You know, you go from country to country, city to city, time zone to time zone. I go out to the West Coast and I'm jet lagged for a week, and you go to Asia and come back like it's nothing. So how do you do it? What are the tricks of the trade? What do you do when you travel overseas to make sure that you can still compete and you can still feel okay, even though you're 12 hours ahead or 12 hours behind?
I wish that I could give you all my tricks and secrets to how to make it an easy transition, but it's not. It's really hard. It's hard on my body, and you know, I try to make the posts look like, you know, just jet lag, but you're smiling. But in reality, it's a little harder than just to sit there and smile at that moment. But I just roll with it. I just know I'm doing what I love, and I just want to keep, you know, going everywhere and doing everything and look at the big picture. Yeah, I'm exhausted. Yeah, my body hurts, but I'm in Korea and I'm bowling and this is what I love to do. So it's okay. I'll sleep tomorrow.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. You know, and I think a lot of people, when you do it for a living and you do it day in and day out, a lot of people kind of forget that you're doing what you love, and you know, so many people would love to be in your shoes and would love to be as talented as you are, and they take it for granted. And, you know, it's great to see that, you know, someone as talented and as young as yourself, you know, still remembers that it is fun. It is what you love to do, and you do it because it's what you love to do. And that if that's the busy lifestyle that you want to live, then that's part of the deal. That's something that you got to deal with. You know,
How do you, on top of all the travel, you know, and the competing itself is obviously brutal. You're bowling against the best women bowlers in the world every day. And you also compete on the men's side, so you're bowling against the best men bowlers around the world sometimes as well. How do you avoid burning out? How do you avoid not just saying, you know what, I'm done with it. I know I've had a couple of poor weeks. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, like I need time off. I'm mentally fried. How do you, I'm sure you've experienced it to some degree, but how do you avoid it to the point where you're not just like, you know what, I'm done. I'm over it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I definitely have dealt with this over the years, multiple times. You know, bowling is a game of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Ups are really good, but unfortunately your downs can be really bad and they can continue for quite a while longer than you want them to.
Right.
So, I think the best thing that I do in order to help balance this is set goals. And that's short-term goals, immediate goals, and long, long, long-term goals, years down the road goals.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I get into those situations, yeah, I need to listen to my body and maybe take a little bit of time off or back off, but I always get myself back into it by remembering what my main goal is, what I'm really working for, you know, months from now, a year from now, years from now. That's the big picture.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I can't reiterate what you said enough is, you know, the lows to the lows, they never last, right? You know, it sucks when you're experiencing it, but with time and with hard work and dedication, that stuff doesn't last too long. It always goes away.
Absolutely. And you'll learn the more you go through it, you'll start to not appreciate it because it's obviously awful as you're going
right,
through it.
Right, yeah.
But you start to realize that those lows are what make you so much better moving on. So you learn to kind of embrace it and work through it knowing the light at the other end is going to be so much brighter than it was before.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely helps put things into perspective without a doubt. Now, and building off that, you said you have short-term goals, long-term goals, and then goals that fit somewhere in between there. Other than the goals that you set for yourself, what do you use as your motivation? You know, I'd like to think, or I'd like to believe that a lot of players at the highest levels aren't motivated much by, you know, other people, by what they think about what other people think about them or what they want people to see them as. And they're more just doing their own thing and their own internal motivations. And, you know, for me, family's a big motivation, my legacy, you know, what I want to be seen as, you know, down the road, like you said, when I'm 70, 80 years old. What motivates you? What really gets the fire going and pushes you to do all the crazy traveling, to do all the crazy amount of competing? What's the one that really pushes you?
So what originally started this whole journey that I'm on was Team USA. I remember being in high school and I was on the fence. I was playing tennis at the time. I was bowling at the time. I was planning on going to college to play tennis. Bowling was just, it was kind of there. And I remember seeing, I think it was when World Youth was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in the country. So obviously there's more press and everything everywhere. I think it was MySpace at the time. I probably came across the article. And I just remember reading them talking about, you know, standing on the podium and the honor of being able to wear red, white, and blue and represent your country. And I was like, I want that. That's it. That's my goal. I need to find a way to do that. And I started just backtracking, you know, who these people were, how they got there, what do I need to do and how do I get into their shoes and then move past that. So that was my driving force to start in my entire career. Even all the individual stuff I did was just to make myself better so that I could compete on Team USA and help my team and just be the best that I can be. Over the last couple of years, my driving force has not changed. Team USA is still very important to me, but I just see myself as playing a different role in the bowling world. And I'm seeing now how much bowling is changing rapidly and evolving and growing, especially with the PWBA tour just starting back up. So my driving force right now is to really just help the sport, grow the sport, push it to be the biggest it can possibly be in any way, through encouraging the youth, through getting out there, you know, what we do, because a lot of people don't really understand what a professional bowler does and what it entails. And as you're saying, the travel, the commitment, all the time and effort, there's a lot to it that people don't know. So it's just kind of enlightening everybody and hopefully helping grow the sport.
Right. I mean, and there's no doubt that you're a terrific ambassador for our sport, and you do a lot of amazing things for the youth, and you do a lot of amazing things for your sponsors and for everybody that you're involved in. And part of that, I think, is, and this I think goes for all bowlers, is Something that we struggle with potentially, at least in my opinion, is that there is some sort of an image issue in the fact that, you know, bowler people, when they think about bowling, they don't necessarily think of, you know, Danielle McCune. They don't necessarily think of Shannon O'Keefe, you know, the really, you know, the physically fit, the mentally tough, you know, they think of something different, unfortunately. At least that's what it's been like in my experience. And so part of your gig of what you do is an elite athlete is you're a serious, serious individual when it comes to working out and being physically fit and eating right and all that stuff. So what does that entail for you? What does that commitment to the gym mean? What exactly do you focus on in the gym? Because, you know, of course we're not working out to be like football players or basketball players, right? I mean, we're not trying to get super huge and jacked, but we're still trying to stay fit. So what has worked for you? How hard is it to diet on the road? Because I know from my experience, eating on the road is like is one of the hardest things that you could do. Getting out after your block at midnight and the only thing open is McDonald's, and you need sleep because you start again at 7:30 in the morning. So what is all that? You know, how do you fit all of that in? How do you make that work?
Well, it's been a lot of trial and error. As you just said, the bowling image, it doesn't really click into working out and fitness and all that. So it's been a lot of trying to learn what exactly a bowler does need in the gym. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started lifting a few years ago, and then I learned that working out certain muscle groups actually hurt my game. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's unique to every bowler. Definitely legs, core, cardio, you know, endurance, especially with these long blocks work best for me.
Yeah.
I try to stay away from upper body lifting. I still do a little bit, you know, shoulders and back, and, you know, that kind of all goes hand in hand with the endurance,
right,
and the core strength. But I try to stay away from lifting heavier. That usually hurts my game. Everything gets a little too choppy and forced. Mm-hmm. And, that's just kind of how it goes. As far as the food goes, I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Especially with the season. I mean, our days start at 8 a.m. And like you said, we don't leave the bowling center until 10:30. I think by the time we drilled balls this week, we got out at 11 and we had to be back in the bowling center in less than 8 hours. So at that point, you're starving. You haven't eaten. You just got done bowling for 12 plus hours.
Right.
And, you know, you just eat everything in sight, but trying to, you know, we usually try to hit one of the drive-thrus that have something healthy, like the McDonald's has the chicken,
right,
the chicken snack wrap, where they have the salads, and just try to make good choices,
yeah,
with what you presented to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, the eating part is, I mean, a lot of people, I think, switching, I mean, this isn't really switching roles, but when it comes to fitness, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, just being in the gym is enough, and it is if you're just, you know, an average everyday person. But when you're trying to be an elite athlete, that dieting is so key, and what you're putting in your body is so important, and you really, you know, being conscious of it is really super important. So that dieting portion, you know, a lot of times people just get out and they're like, all right, yeah, let's just go snack on some chicken nuggets and a burger, you know, and that sounds delicious. I mean, everybody would love to eat some chicken, but you know, feeling awful the next day because of it, you know, obviously it can hinder your performance without a doubt.
Absolutely. And you know, it's like you said, on the road versus being home is a very big difference. Mm-hmm. When I'm home and I'm training, it's so much easier. I can meal prep and I can, you know, cook my own fresh food, and it's so much easier to get your vegetables and your fruits for your snacks in between. But on the road, it's really hard. So yeah, it's just another challenge that we face week in and week out.
Yeah, just another thing that makes the PWBA tour even more difficult than it already is. People think it's just bowling. There's more to it.
Much more.
So something that I think is really cool to touch on and really interesting, and I think a lot of athletes deal with this. For example, Kobe Bryant, well, just, you know, just a little side note. Kobe Bryant, when he was early in his career, developed what he called was the Black Mamba. That's kind of his alter ego when he was playing basketball. And when he was on the court, he was the Black Mamba. And when he was off the court, that's when he was Kobe Bryant. And a lot of people, I think, judge individuals, athletes specifically, for how they are when they're doing their job, right? As a bowler, your job is to bowl. as an athlete, your job is to play your sport. And a lot of people confuse the fact that when you're out there doing your thing, that's you doing your job. That's you being an athlete. That's you doing what you are supposed to be doing. And they might not necessarily judge you for it, but they label you as something that you may not actually be. You know, for someone like you, I mean, for anybody that's ever watched you bowl, you're fierce. You're as fierce as they come. You're intense. You're quiet. You're very focused. You're a little bit to yourself. And all of this is, you know, that's great. If that's what you do, that's what you do. There's nothing, obviously, there's nothing wrong with it if that's who you are and that's what helps you compete well. But then when you're off the lanes, you're a very open person. You're very fun to be around. You're nice and encouraging and kind. And, you know, have all those awesome qualities. How do you differentiate your, not necessarily your two personalities, but how do you differentiate those two different, you know, parts of your life that you have?
Well, they definitely overlap. I mean, the perfectionist and the driven part of me that you see on the bowling side, that's unfortunately in every aspect of my life, which is sometimes a good thing, sometimes a bad thing, but that's just who I am. So that carries over to both sides. But other than that, when I bowl, it just took a while for me to figure out what I need to do on the lanes in order for me to be successful. And I learned that pretty quick in college. Because college bowling, you throw a shot and everyone's screaming and you come back all excited and you're high-fiving everyone. And then you go up and throw the next shot and mine was nowhere close because I would be so amped up and my head would be spinning that I realized I can't do that. That's great that other people can, but I need to be calm. I need to try to be as calm as I can be and stay as level-headed as I can be so that I can get the next shot and perform again. And then I learned, you know, over the years that that's just how I work. I may look like I'm calm and I may look level-headed, but inside my head is usually spinning out of control. That's kind of my way of just balancing it out and dealing with it. And like you said, when you're competing, when you're whatever sport you're in, people will judge you for that. So I come across a lot of times as if I'm unemotional or I don't care or even mean, I've heard. And I that's not me. Like you said, off the lanes, that's totally not me. That's just how I need to prepare myself in order to do my job.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I've actually spoken, I mean, you've worked with Dr. Dean, of course. And, you know, I've worked with Dr. Dean over the years. And that's something that I asked him about is, you know, I don't want people to see me when I'm competing as mean or as arrogant or rude to other people. But when I'm competing, like if I get fired up and I yell, then I get fired up and I yell. And that's what I'm doing because that's me and that's natural. And, you know, something that we've talked about is that, you know, if that's what it is to be me, then that's what it is to be me. If people want to judge you for it, then people want to judge you for it. But you can't ever not be yourself on the lanes, right? Like, you know, you're not going to – if you being calm and cool and collected on the outside is what's going to help you compete well, you're not going to do the opposite of that just to make everybody else happy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's especially important, you know, you still, of course, want to, you know – be courteous to others and you don't want to be rude to everybody, but you know, at the same time, you have to do what's best for you. And I think that's important for a lot of younger players out there is, you know, they're always constantly. So, you know, being younger and, you know, wanting approval from other people, you're always so worried about what everybody else is thinking that you kind of sometimes lose your way and you stop being yourself. And in order to be the best that you can be, you really, I mean, you got to be yourself. You can't be trying to put on a show for anybody. You can't be putting on an act.
Absolutely not. That's what we're talking about, athletics and sports, that everything you do comes from the heart in that. You know, when it comes down to that moment, it's from within. It's from the heart. So if you're pretending to be something or acting a different way, it's not going to turn out in your favor in the long run. You need to be true to who you are.
Absolutely. And tying into to true to who you are, you know, that was a great segue that unintended, of course. You know, when you were in high school and you were bowling, I'm sure you had an idea that you were going to, once you, as you earlier said, say that you wanted to be on Team USA and you wanted to wear the red, white, and blue, which is a tremendous honor. You know, I'm sure you knew you were going to go bowl in college. I'm sure you knew you could bowl, you know, professionally. Maybe to the extent you weren't exactly sure of. But now you have turned this sport of bowling into an incredible lifestyle for yourself. You've traveled the world. You've met amazing people. You've won incredible tournaments. You've done all this cool stuff. And it's all just a result of you chasing your dream. And I think that it's so important for people to remember that When you're chasing your dream and when you're doing what you love, you know, pretty much everything else pales in comparison. And you may not have known that this was the life that you were going to live, but you knew that this was what you were going to do and that you were going to make it work. And here you are, and you're doing more than just making it work, and you're living an incredible lifestyle. Why is it so important for people to chase their dreams? What is it? Whether it's bowling, whether it's math, whether it's architecture, whatever it is, whatever you love to do, why is it important?
I mean, like you just said, in any area of life, and this isn't just bowling, this could be any sport, it could be the career or that you're going to school for, or anything in your life, your family, your friendships. It's so important to have dreams, to have goals, because that's you know, your heart, that's what you love, that's what you believe in, and that's what you're going to fight for. And like back to what we were saying before, if it's not from your heart, then it's not true. So, you know, you just have to have those goals, and that's what drives you to get up every day and put in the work, put in the time, put in the effort in whatever area it is. And there is nothing comparable to achieving one of your dreams. You know, just being able to sit back and look at all the work and all the stepping stones that led to that moment, there's nothing in the world that could compare to that. So definitely fight for that moment.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important that people remember that things change, you know, like when you were in high school, the landscape for professional women's bowling may not have looked so great, but then you went to college and you continued to bowl, and then you continued to bowl after college. And then before you know it, the ladies tour started back up and you're traveling overseas. And, you know, when you first get involved in something, you don't really know all the opportunities that are out there. You know, if you told me when I was 13 years old that bowling was going to help me meet the president of the United States one day, I would have told you that you were insane, because that's just not something that I would ever had thought of. And the same thing goes for you. You know, if someone would have told you when you were a younger kid that you could have done all these amazing things by being a bowler, people may not have, you probably wouldn't have believed them. You probably would have been like, yeah, okay, like, yeah, I'm just going to go and bowl and I'm going to do my thing. But the sport of bowling presents some tremendous opportunities and has taken you to some incredible places. What's your favorite place that you've ever been to outside of the U.S.?
Anywhere in Asia. Like any country in Asia is just my favorite. The culture is awesome. The food is amazing. It's my happy place. Just drop me somewhere in Asia.
Just drop you somewhere over Asia and you'll be okay.
I will be happy.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Asia is really a cool culture. And, you know, bowling's huge over there, right?
It is. It absolutely is. That's why, I mean, Japan, we've been to South Korea a bunch, Thailand, that's where all of our major tournaments are multiple times a year. And, you know, that's where all the big, strong national teams are, like Team Singapore, Korea, Malaysia. That's where, you know, the strongest women bowlers in the world are. So it's awesome to go over there and get to compete against them and, you know, meet fans from all around the world, and especially meet fans that you struggle communicating with, because it's one thing to sit and have a conversation with someone in English, but imagine trying to have a conversation with someone who doesn't speak a word of English.
Right.
It gets fun.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be pretty funny. Something you touched on, the amazing teams in Asia. I mean, there's so many talented national teams throughout the world, of course, and specifically throughout Asia. And a significant advantage that I'm not sure if all of them have, but I know that quite a few of them do, is that they do get to train together all year round. And something that Team USA, unfortunately, you know, because everybody's got jobs and everybody's doing their own thing, is, you know, the training time together. How do you think that having the ladies tour kind of helps you guys spend more time together, even though you're competing on your own time? You know, you're all competing for yourself, but you're also getting to spend some time together on the lanes. You guys are all getting to bowl together, crossing with one another. You get to learn from one another. You know, does the establishment of the PWA tour help you guys? Do you think that it helps you guys as a team?
Absolutely. You know, I've the first couple of years I was on Team USA, we didn't have the tour, and unfortunately we would go months without kind of seeing each other. Obviously we keep in contact, but it's not the same thing as bowling with each other and against each other and next to each other every weekend. So just to, you know, be in the same building every weekend, and like you said, although we may be competing against each other, I know Shannon's game very well from working with her. So I can walk behind her and kind of watch what she's doing, and she could walk behind me and feed off of me. So we're silently still working together to help each other in a way. But
right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that, I mean, that's what teammates do.
When we flip back into the team setting.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Okay, so switching gears here, we're going to get to a little bit more fun stuff. I mean, bowling talk's fun for me, and I'm sure it is for you.
So much fun.
Okay, switching gears here. Things that people may not probably do not know about Danielle McEwen. These are just some random questions that I thought of that I think would be cool for everybody else to know.
Okay.
Question numero uno. If you weren't a professional bowler, what profession would you pursue?
Any profession, not like another sport, correct?
Yeah. First off, if you could play another sport, what sport would you play?
Tennis.
You'd play tennis, okay.
Absolutely. If I wasn't, involved in sports at all, I would do something with animals. I love animals. I would love to work with animals, training them in some wildlife place, something. I don't know which direction exactly I would go in.
Right.
If I had to wake up every day to work and train and help animals, I would be so happy.
Animals sound pretty good. This is something that we would do with the McKendree Bowling Program. What is your favorite, your favorite wild animal? If you could pick one, what would it be?
Well, my brain right now with the training is going towards dolphins, because that's what I wanted to do when I was younger, is I always wanted to be a dolphin trainer. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay. That dolphin trainer sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
I know. Could see me at SeaWorld, right?
Yeah, I could picture you just chilling with all the dolphins and just like hanging out with all the fish all day long. I could picture you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number two. And this is a big one. This is a hard one that I can't ever answer. I never have an answer for this one. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Okay, good. I'm glad I don't have an answer either.
I can't.
I have a couple of answers, okay, but I can't pick just one.
All right. So give me like, I feel like let's do a couple different kinds. Pick one of your favorite animated movies, like a Pixar film or something like that. And then, pick maybe, I don't know, pick like a classic movie that you like that I think that most people will know, and then maybe throw another one in there.
Okay. Well, my favorite movies of all time are anything animated. As you said, Disney, Pixar, I'd like all of them. I love them all. Monsters, Inc., Cars, Inside Out, Home. Oh my gosh, those are my favorite. I like to watch those nonstop. I think my favorite motivational movie, like a sports relay movie, would be Miracle.
Okay.
I could watch that over and over again. Love that. What else? One of my favorite comedy movies is The Proposal.
That is a very funny movie.
It is a very funny movie. I could watch that a million times. It's kind of all that's coming to mind. All
right.
But yeah, anything animated, oh, I love all those. Just give me like Cinderella all day long.
See, people will never expect this from fierce, intense Danielle McEwen that doesn't talk. So what's next? What's coming up? Obviously, some more PWBA stuff's coming up for the rest of the season. And hopefully you'll win a couple more times this year. What else do you have going on? Do you prepare the same throughout the season for everything? Or do things change throughout the season? What's going through your head?
Well, I compete between the PWBA, the PBA, the World Bowling Tours, and Team USA. I compete all year round. I haven't really had much more than a week or two off in probably 6 years now. I think I had just under 2 weeks off prior to the start of the season, and I think that was my longest break in 6 years at least. So,
Jeez.
I'm just gonna, keep going. I train every time I'm home in between stops. I kind of have my little routine depending on how many days I'm home for that I go through, and then it's hitting the road again. So after the season is over with PWBA, I'd go straight overseas from the last stop to compete in a World Bowling Tour stop. I'm bowling a couple of men's events, a couple more overseas events throughout the end of the year. We have Team USA stuff coming up, so before you know it, it's Christmas then.
so basically, just – you have nothing going on whatsoever. You're just
no. Yeah, I sit back with my feet up all the time.
and people wonder, like, man, the easy life of a bowler. You just kind of sit and put your feet up and bowl every now and then. And unless you're Danielle, and then you're gone 95% of the year.
Yeah, no, it's funny because people ask me all the time when I'm posting, you know, stuff about traveling and sitting on a plane for 14 hours, and they're like, oh, I can never imagine doing that. And it's gotten to the point that I actually look forward to those long flights,
mm-hmm.
because that's 14 hours of sitting on a couch and watching TV or reading a book or getting, you know, some work done, but just for the most part relaxing. And I don't do that
right
when I'm not on a plane. I never sit on my couch. I don't watch TV. I'm constantly going, working, training, planning my next training trip, booking flights, booking hotels, but it's nonstop. So
yeah,
those are my relaxing times on the airplane.
That's awesome. That's funny. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And last thing, I'm gonna do this. I don't know how I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna call it something different, something cooler than this. But for every episode, whoever the guest is, we're gonna have them give a message of the day. So, what is the message of the day for today?
My message is to work hard for whatever it is you believe in, and you know, just put in the work. Go for it, 100%.
All righty, Danielle. Thank you so much for joining us on the Pay It Forward podcast. I really appreciate it. Good luck this next week in Pennsylvania, right? You guys are in Pennsylvania this weekend?
Pennsylvania, yes.
All righty. Thank you very much. Safe travels, and we will hopefully hear from you again in the future.
I hope so. Thanks for having me. All right,
no problem. Take care.
Bye.
All righty, everybody. Well, that wraps up episode number one of the Pay It Forward podcast. I want to thank you guys so much again for tuning in to episode number one. I hope you guys were able to find some key takeaways that will help you in everyday life on and off the lanes. I want to say thank you again to Danielle McEwen for taking the time out of her busy schedule to join us on the podcast. Please make sure you go into the description of the episode and you'll be able to find Danielle's social media handles there. Please go give her a follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Her journey is incredible, and I highly suggest that each and every one of you follow her if you don't already. And please subscribe to the podcast and follow the podcast to make sure you can stay up to date on the new episodes that get posted. Hopefully, we'll be able to post about one every week or so, depending on the availability of our superstars. I really think that this can be a cool thing for everybody to learn and to help one another. So please subscribe to the podcast, stay up to date, and I hope you guys all have a great day. And please always remember to pay it forward. Take care, everybody.